Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I don't know if you're going to get anything more after March 17th is when that $2.5 million is due. You take what the best offer, provided that's not from the Baltimore Ravens or Cleveland Browns or Cincinnati Bengals. I hate to say it, but even if that's a conditional seventh round pick for 2020, you have to move on. That there's been too much drama over the last 2 years. They didn't make the playoffs last year. They still have a couple good receivers, and they can pick up a third. Look at what New England has done with receivers through the years. You don't need future Hall of Famers necessarily to help you get to a Super Bowl.
Brought to you by Waynesburg University. Grow your career with knowledge, grace, and service. Learn more at waynesburg.edu. That's our Hall of Fame Steelers insider, Eddie Buscetti, reacting to Antonio Brown's goodbye tweet. 9 big years. Now time for something new. Bouchette says, I don't care if it's a seventh round pick in 2020. You have to trade him. ESPN is reporting the Steelers think they'll get a first round pick for Antonio Brown. Who is closer to being right? Bouchette, they'd do it for a seventh if it came down to it. ESPN, they're holding out for a first. The pick they get back.
Closer to ESPN's projection of what they think they'll get. I think they're going to get in the first three rounds. I do. I'm not. This is such an odd story to cover because it feels like it ebbs and flows, and it feels like it's very tough to stick to your guns for a long period of time because it's only that long until Antonio Brown tweets something else, or Instagrams out something else, or puts something on Facebook if he's even on there. But I'm gonna try to stay and hold fast to the idea that because he's so talented and because somebody out there is going to be desperate enough and maybe two teams will want him bad enough to bid against each other, that he's going to fetch more than likely not a first-rounder but a second or third. If I had to put an actual round on it, for whatever reason, I'm guessing second round for him. That's what it's going to be. Do you disagree? Do you think it's closer to the seventh? Do you think they're trading him in a Santonio Holmes sense for a pretty moderate return, if not flat-out bad?
So is a second-round pick a bidding spree, or it's an auction where it starts on the low end and by the time of the draft, like, it's so fast and furious that the Steelers get themselves up to a second-round pick? Is that...
Well, if you think that that's going to happen, then you probably think they'll just get a first.
I'm not saying I think that's going to happen.
If there's a bidding frenzy, they will get a first-round pick.
I'm just trying to figure out if Jimmy Garoppolo, who was a $28 million quarterback in his 20s, got only a second-round pick. If Alex Smith, coming off a career year, netted only a second-round pick, where for the first 10 games of the season, he was an MVP candidate. What makes you think a wide receiver, which is not
inherently less valuable?
Yes.
He's on a good contract, and he has a – it's actually insulting to him to compare either of those players' careers' track records, Garoppolo's or Alex Smith's, to Antonio Brown's. Alex Smith didn't get much because everybody knew he was still Alex Smith. One of the subplots of last season was, when will Alex Smith turn back into Alex Smith? Jimmy Garoppolo got a second-round pick, partly because I think Bill Belichick gave it away because people were pining after him, but he was still an unproven commodity for the most part. He hadn't played many games. There was just a lot of Jimmy Garoppolo shine out there out of a very small sample size. Antonio Brown, you said it earlier in the show, has accounted for what, 67 touchdowns in the last how many seasons?
6 years.
That's a track record. That's a long-term track record of what you know what you're getting. Washington probably didn't want to give up too much for Alex Smith, maybe because they knew that despite his first 10 games last year, they knew what they were ultimately going to get out of him. which was like moderate ball control, like game manager
it
play.
It would be insulting to say that Ben Roethlisberger's career has been better than Jerry Rice's, but if you're starting a franchise, a team would take Ben Roethlisberger over Jerry Rice because the position is so much more important and valuable.
I mean, how far down the totem pole of quarterbacks do you go before you'd say they would take Jerry Rice to start a franchise? Like, would a team take Matt Stafford over Jerry
No.
Rice? Matt Ryan?
No.
So does it have to be a guy that you know has won a Super Bowl? Russell Wilson?
No, I'm talking about, well, maybe. I'm talking about Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
I think teams...
Jerry Rice inherently had a better career than Jim Kelly, but you start your franchise with Jim Kelly over Jerry Rice because the position... If you have Jerry Rice in an average,
but we're not talking about starting your franchise now.
No, what we're talking about is if a promising quarterback gets only a second round pick, or an above average quarterback gets a second round pick, if a bad quarterback gets a fourth round pick, where in that Joe Flacco today, where does Antonio Brown with all kinds of baggage fit into all of that? Where does he fit in when the NFL is still investigating his incident in Florida? There are photographs out there somewhere of what happened that night. How can they demand? How could they? They are not going to get if the Steelers are sitting there thinking we're going to play a game of chicken with the other 31 teams and we're not going to trade him for anything less than a first round pick, then they will be stuck with Antonio Brown. And here's why I say that. When I throw that out there, people will say, well, how about the Raiders? They have three first-round picks. Leave the Raiders out of it. Give me another team with a first-round pick that would trade for Antonio Brown, that would give up their first-round pick for Brown. Do you have one?
The only teams in a reasonable
Niners
place
are
in the
too
first
high.
Round. The Packers are too high.
They got a second pick at 30.
Packers might do it. Packers might do it for the 30th. You know, you say they're not going to get a first-round pick because the pool of teams ultimately that have a first-round pick that's at a reasonable spot
won't do it.
Okay. But I do think some teams, Green Bay might be one of them, Washington could even be one of them, although they shouldn't. They'd be stupid to do it. But Dan Snyder is not a bright guy when it comes to football moves. You see, I think what is hard to quantify or state even in sports talk terms is team gets closer to the idea of it and talks themselves a little bit more into the player and what he could bring to the table. And suddenly the player, in exchange for the pick, looks a lot more attractive to buy something ready-made, you might say, than to go out, draft the player, develop the player at whatever position it might be, and wait to see if the seed germinates here. If you get Antonio Brown, it's like going out to a grocery store and buying a really well-prepared, already ready-to-go meal. You know that it's going to taste good. You can't screw it up. You might not like eating it every day. After 1 year of it, you might get sick of it. But in the moment, you're going to be like, you know what? This is worth it. This is worth the relatively high cost because we are getting assurances that we're getting something that's going to make a positive difference. Same with a team that might have a pick in the late first round that feels like they need one big push to get them over the top. Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
What are they looking at? Team that has a great defense in the making.
Traded their first round pick for Khalil Mack.
That's right. Scratch that.
They already made their aggressive
Scratch
move
that,
for
yeah.
a pass rusher.
Hold on.
And paid him.
I go to Carolina then maybe too still. Now, if Cam Newton doesn't play this year, that kind of throws that out the window. But they're another team in the middle of the first round who might say, we have Christian McCaffrey. We love him. We have Cam Newton. We don't feel like we have maybe a great wide receiving threat. Cam Newton sucks up all the attention, really, on a football team and is the center of attention in a much more visible way than Ben Roethlisberger, I think, is in a public way. Ben does a show, but Cam Newton's always in the headlines. They might feel like Antonio Brown can exist in the background there almost, the way Kessel does here. You get a triplets kind of thing going there. Cam, Christian, AB. You feel like you have a move you've made now that might put you back over the Saints
if
in the NFC
Terrell Owens
South.
And Randy Moss weren't traded for a first-round pick, and they were even younger than Antonio Brown, nothing makes me think a 31-year-old Antonio Brown is going to net that kind of
What do you think
return.
He will net then?
I'll tell you what, and I'm not just saying this to, like, you know, get people to drive off into telephone poles. I honestly think the return for Joe Flacco might end up being more than the return for Antonio
Brown. So fifth, sixth, or seventh for AB?
Fourth, fifth. Yeah, I think it might be a Saturday pick. And I think it might be a Saturday pick because here's the other part of this. Jerry Dulac said that Brown wants a contract extension.
Okay. Okay.
He's got no guaranteed money left on his deal.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to have to not only give up something substantial, but also commit more dollars to Antonio Brown to make it work?
That's more disqualifying for teams than anything he's put on social media, if that's the honest,
that's what Dulac tweeted.
I know, but if that is an accurate representation of reality, like that's,
Bettis said
that's
the same
how much
thing
of a stickler.
At the Super Bowl, teams are going to be scared off because AB thinks he can use the trade to leverage a contract.
That's
extension.
Probably more disqualifying than any antics, because then it becomes very much a football terms thing. Like I think too many people looked at this when they tried to evaluate the guy in terms of his trade value as, what about a distraction? Teams don't actually look at that. Andrew Brandt, when he went on with us, I thought gave us the most dispassionate picture of this. Teams look at the dollars and cents, the
and
age
then
of the...
apparently, what, he blew up things on the morning show?
The morning show
today?
had a very... I just saw the morning show's notes, and it was Andrew Brandt, and they were written up. And then the next segment was, the guys react to a very strange and awkward interview with Andrew Brandt. So I didn't have a chance to go back and listen to it.
I thought
it.
He was fine with us, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought I asked him like a question that he rebuffed, but it made sense that he rebuffed it. Point being, the smart GMs in the league, the disqualifying factor for them will be if Antonio Brown is extremely serious about wanting an extension, wanting a show of faith from whatever team trades for him, teams are going to look at that and say, we might know the production for a year, 2 years, even the 3 years he's got left in the deal might be more or less a known commodity, but we don't want to keep paying for an undersized wide receiver into his mid to late 30s, because who would? Eventually, the fantasy land is going to run out for Antonio Brown, and his skills will erode to the point where his production does, and he's still going to probably want to be compensated well. And that's when you don't want to be stuck standing up in the game of AB musical chairs.
What kind of draft pick would you trade to get 1 year of really good behavior and good play out of Antonio Brown?
I can't answer that without knowing what my team is like. Is my team a contender already?
Yeah.
A first.
Really?
Yes.
For 1 year.
For 1 year. If it's all about win now, try to max it out. If I saw what Dallas got out of Amari Cooper, who's not the wide receiver he is, they got back to the playoffs.
But if Amari Cooper never played another down for the Cowboys, it's not a good trade.
If I'm a contender and Antonio Brown, good behavior, great play, and I'm the Colts, and that puts me over the Patriots in the AFC because I outscore them.
Okay.
And I go to the Super Bowl and win it.
All right, so then,
or at least get to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Guess what? That's worth it.
So then you're narrowing it down to a very select group of teams who would trade for him, who could feel that way about
mm-hmm.
themselves.
Yes.
I say that because if he wants a contract extension, you don't give it to him at the time of the trade. He might think, if I have a great year.
You give it to him after the great
yes.
year. Yes. When everybody's feeling the most flush.
And if you don't.
Then he gets mad. If you do. Do you guarantee yourself another year or two?
I don't know. I don't know. Because did the Steelers guarantee?
What if he gets along with whatever quarterback he's with? That's another. I haven't even brought that up yet. And I don't know why it took me this long. But if we both believe that to a large extent, maybe the predominant thing here is a frustration or a friction that exists between the star wideout and the star quarterback
right.
here. If he genuinely gets along with the quarterback at the next port of call,
we'll save that because Pompeiani had an unbelievable stat on Antonio Brown. Leave it to Pomp and his quaff.
Pomp
hair,
ain't easy.
His quaff.
He makes it look easy
and
though.
Hairspray and
talk about that.
Look. A stat on what you just said on Antonio Brown that you can use with your friends to illustrate Brown's shortcomings if you want. 412-928-9370. Text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. At 5 o'clock, Jason Mackey will join us for a Penguins roundtable discussion. It's the PM team.
This reflects poorly on everybody involved in this situation. Not just AB and Ben Roethlisberger and the rift, which seems to be the genesis of AB wanting to get a trade, but also the people in the Steelers organization, the hierarchy, right? And specifically Mike Tomlin and Kevin
yes.
Colbert, their general manager, because they should never let the relationship with their best player
gotten
and the most
point.
Productive wide receiver in the National Football League this decade devolve to the point where it's irreparable.
Raven Chris Canty there. Listen to the morning show Friday for the perfect after Valentine's Day gift to sign Mike Hilton jersey. Thanks to Total Sports Enterprises at the Mall at Robinson. Visit tseshop.com for all your black and gold fan favorites. TSE, if you're listening, if you have any Pat White signed jerseys laying around.
What about a Slayton?
You have any Alex Ruoff or Kevin Pitsnoggle jerseys laying around?
Wow. How about a Mike Gansey?
Yes.
Throw a Gansey in there.
For me to make up this huge Valentine's Day deficit that I have with my wife. Do you have any of these?
Is Amanda
things?
A West Virginia memorabilia collector? Like she would mark out for the Ruoff jersey?
If you have a Huggins sign pullover.
One of those V-neck pulls.
Please.
Does it have sleeves or no? His
no,
are always
does.
Sleeveless.
No, they're sleeves now.
Because I was going to say, what he wears, his sideline apparel, is essentially a guy going out to play golf when it's 55 and rainy.
And he sits on a stool the entire game.
See, I respect the hell out of that. That is a great job by Bob
I don't
Huggins.
Think he got off the stool in the second half.
Does he have back
Saturday.
Issues or anything like that necessitated?
I think he's just had heart attacks and stuff.
So he just... Is it not interesting to you that he is still a very intense guy and does that very intense job when he's had that kind of stress?
I love him.
Oh, I think he is a wildly entertaining human being.
He knows no different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I like the fact that he has one of those BS, like, total nonsense bonuses built in for what, when they beat Kansas, I think, and he donates it all to a cancer charity.
Yep.
I'm sure he donates other money, but I always like
hey,
that little
TSC, West Virginia stuff, let my people know about it, please.
Who are your people? I need those people. You got
the sales.
Do you have a guy? Do you like when people say I've got a guy? Can Andrew Filippone in some capacity say yeah I've got a guy?
For what?
For anything.
No.
I don't think I have a guy for anything either.
You want action at an Alliance of American Football game? I might have somebody.
You might
it.
Have somebody.
Okay. Bob Pompeiani with this stat: Antonio Brown hasn't caught a touchdown pass from another quarterback. All of his touchdown passes, I gave you 67 in the last 6 years, have come from Ben Roethlisberger. Ben has not played in every game with AB. Mm-hmm. Mike Vick, Landry Jones, Charlie Batch.
So you automatically take that as a reflection on AB?
Do you?
No. The other quarterbacks aren't good enough to get him the ball, maybe.
No, but you
so
could,
much of what so much of what he did with Ben was timing-based.
But you could easily take that stat and say, well, this is proof that Ben Roethlisberger makes Antonio Brown and not the other way around.
I don't think so.
Can you think of a big game AB's played with one of those backup quarterbacks?
I think of AB playing with those backup quarterbacks, I'll be honest with you, and I think of them maybe not taking shots down the field and being much safer. I know the big classic example is Martavis turned two Landry Jones passes, one of which a very short one into a touchdown, and one was a decent throw by Jones. But I just look at it as Antonio Brown is just a big threat down the field doing stuff, scramble drill stuff, and those guys might be playing much more conservatively.
I agree with you. I didn't want to, but the reason why that's the right position to take is for the number of people out there who cover the Steelers who said Landry Jones is one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league, the NFL just showed you last year how bad that guy is. In a quarterback-desperate league, Landry Jones spent, what, 3 weeks on a roster, and it was because Jacksonville was getting ready to play the Steelers, and as soon as that game was over, they cut him?
Kaput. Yeah, they wanted whatever knowledge they felt like they needed on the Steelers.
In a quarterback-hungry league, the guy barely played. To the best of my knowledge, he didn't take a knee for the national anthem.
No, he just...
And he didn't get arrested.
You're supposed to believe that a steady veteran backup that a good team employs for a long time has inherent value to other teams if he's ever jettisoned. They took a lot of flack for what happened with that in the Oakland game. If Landry Jones... Really? I don't know if Landry Jones is in that game if it turns out differently. I really don't. And I don't think it does, actually. I wanted to go back to something I said in the last segment, though, about AB and about trade value and about everything, or about the contract extension stuff specifically, because mm-hmm. Jerry Dulac's reporting that he wants an extension. He has no guaranteed money left in this deal. And I said that would be the biggest hang-up, practically speaking, for a lot of teams. The big X factor here... And admittedly, I think this is a less than 50-50 proposition, because I think AB respects AB, and it's hard for him to, like, genuinely respect anyone else. Say he goes, though, somewhere where there's a young up-and-coming quarterback that he makes better, and that guy is a major gym rat who's there throwing with him, who's building a genuine, like, work-based rapport with him. And because of that, AB still gets mad and throws tantrums, but there's some sort of respect that has never existed with him and Ben. And there's a lack of friction that clearly exists with him and Ben. I don't think it's a huge possibility because I think he's a textbook narcissist, but I think people have to allow for the fact that it could be the reality. Maybe he does go to San Francisco, and he and Garoppolo make beautiful music, and he says, you know what, I'm happy here. Garoppolo respects me, I respect him, this works well, we both put up numbers.
it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that that takes place.
Do you think the Garoppolo porn star date is something that AB looks at and
respects?
Says, you went up in my book after this.
I think
you made it on TMZ.
Yes.
I might be familiar with this young woman's career.
Mm-hmm. Do I think that wins solid him brownie
move.
Points?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Garoppolo goes up a couple notches in AB's book. Don't you?
Yes.
Like AB, I think AB, maybe more than the fact that it's a date with a porn star, I think AB just likes the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo made TMZ. Like, that's a rite of passage for AB. Hey, have you been featured in TMZ lately? I need to have my quarterback out there in the news. Do you give it a 0% chance that he goes somewhere and actually has a harmonious relationship with a quarterback?
I think it is. I like what you said. I like if there's a guy who kisses his ring and smooches his butt and does everything he wants and puts in the extra time with him.
Putting in the extra time is not kissing the ring, though. It's doing what he does. It's doing what a lot of quarterbacks do when they want to create a great rapport with a wideout, is throwing all the – they talked about it with Edelman. Is Edelman – he is kissing the ring in a sense, but I read it as laudable when he shows up for all of Brady's, like, off-season throwing things, moves out to L.A.
Yeah, you know what I'd love to ask Bouchette about? And I don't know if Ed would have the direct answer on this.
Yeah.
We hear all the time about Ben doing stuff in the offseason with his offensive line.
Yeah.
Does he do stuff in the offseason with his wide receivers? Do they go on retreats and work with each other for weeks at a time? Is he with Juju? Is he with Ryan Switzer? I know he went hunting with Vance McDonald. That, I guess, builds some kind of rapport.
Well,
but what?
That's rapport building. He doesn't have to throw those – I mean, he throws – what, Vance McDonald the ball? But, like, it's weird that I don't ever hear a story of just, like, randomly in, you know, whenever, May or something like that, like, just after the draft, Ben and his receivers get together for, like, 3 days at a predetermined, nice, pleasant location.
And it's like a camp.
Maybe Ben foots the bill for stuff as, like, a gesture of good faith because he's making by far the most money. Hey, let's run some routes. I've got this field. I've got people who will shag loose footballs for us. Let's all of us go out and work on our timing and our precision. Maybe, but I don't hear about it if it does.
Joe Flacco, who went toe-to-toe with Ben a bunch, traded today to Denver. How will you remember Joe Flacco's Ravens career? Punchline, respect for him. And, you know, what does that do for the Ravens and Steelers rivalry? 412-928-9370. Or follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, with locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Jason Mackey, our Penguins Roundtable, our Penguins Insider, as we get you ready for Pens and Oilers later tonight. It's the PM team. In 15 minutes, Jason Mackey, our Penguins Insider, will sit down with us for an hour to discuss tonight's superstar-centric matchup at PPG Paints Arena between the Penguins and Oilers. And despite the Oilers placing the standings on the outside looking in for the playoffs, they bring Connor McDavid to town, which is always fun. Edmonton plays here once a year. It's usually a big night. 8 o'clock faceoff. NBC Sports will have it. Joe Flacco traded to the Broncos for a fourth-round pick today, going back to the scene of the crime when he won that double overtime game back in the 2012 playoffs, a game that cemented Flacco's legacy in Baltimore, beats Denver in the divisional round game, then went to New England and beat Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game, and beat Colin Kaepernick, of all people, in the Super Bowl when it was brother versus brother, John versus Jim.
Which Harbaugh were you rooting for in that Super Bowl? I was rooting for John because Jim was such a – No, I couldn't be rooting for and the brothers thing, like brother versus brother. I liked John Harbaugh more because Jim Harbaugh was such a goof, but I wanted the 49ers to win because it's the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Can't root for them. By the way, can I hijack this for a second? I came on the air late here, primarily because a group of North Catholic students
who all adore you and look up to you.
I don't think a single one of them.
How many autographs
knows me,
did you
knows
sign?
Me from Adam? When I said, "Oh yeah, it's North Catholic," I went there. They were all like, "Really?"
You need to advertise that better.
What, that I went to North?
You need to get back in with the North Catholic family.
And was I ever out with the North Catholic family?
You need to get your face on the wall if there is a notable alumni section of North Catholic.
Do you think they want to be associated
yes,
with
I do.
I don't know about that.
Look at this room right now. There is a glow.
A glow?
Yes. This is...
What I went and told them is the two of us get to jag around, and that's what our job is to basically debase ourselves for 4 hours every day on the radio to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they want to be associated with somebody like me. I don't know if they want
completely
that.
Completely disagree.
Do you think Penn State really wants me to be closely tied to the school?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
Even after all I've said about them?
Time heals all wounds.
Oh, wow.
Sticks and stones.
It's like a Nicholas Sparks movie come to life right now. Well, point being.
Do you feel like you had an impact on these young
minds? Hope. I gave him a 150-second lecture. It was a 2.5-minute Chris on journalism.
Did you say smoke cigarettes to make your voice deeper?
I said, if you want to go into radio, you really need a carton of... No.
Well, that's a good start, so you didn't screw that up.
No, I said, you have to. They're going to go up and watch the game from the press box tonight, and so what I actually said was, there's a lot of work that goes on in the press box. There's nobody screwing around on Twitter, you know, looking at Pinterest or anything like that. People are actually working, looking at storylines. You're an ultimate storylines guy.
I mean, the last time I was up there, I was trying to figure out which Sandals hotel I wanted to stay in because the game was
all right,
so
bad
boring.
Bad example. Well, that's the other thing. They're going to have to deal with boring games, too.
Tonight's not a boring game, my friend.
Well, tonight the story would be Connor McDavid is there.
I got to give the Penguins credit. They did not give these North Catholic students
a bad game.
They did not give them the Arizona Coyotes on a Tuesday night.
Do you know what the wild thing is? You know, these are presumably all, you know, they're taking a college writing class, which didn't even exist at North Catholic when I went there, presumably between the ages of 16 and 18 here. I wonder if they truly realize, because it's not even something at 33 that I always think about consciously, the best hockey player in a planet of billions of people is over there right now.
You know
what
this makes me think of?
The best hockey player on the surface of this planet is in that building, and they will get to see him firsthand.
When I was a sophomore at Syracuse, I was at the student radio station. I was hammered, but nobody else knew it but me.
It's a good start to a radio show.
And I was down there, like, writing a script for a practice update that I had to do. And Mike Tirico strolls in.
Hey, Mike!
And he had just, like, started doing, I think, Monday Night Football at the time or something important.
Yeah.
And I'm there, like, I don't know.
Half in the bag.
Yeah, at a container that looks like it has soft drink in it, but it's...
Boy,
something else.
You sly fox, I'm sure you had them all fooled.
And Tirico looked at me and said, I would trade places with you right now.
Did he know
and
that
I
you
And I said,
were...
I would gladly accept that deal, Mike.
So he knew where you were sobriety-wise.
No, I think he was like, you had your whole life in front of you. That was the main point he was trying to drive home. Don't screw it up. And then I had a professor tell me 2 weeks later that I was his worst student in 36 years.
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would trade places with any of these kids from North Catholic, mainly because I wasn't that popular in high school.
It's a chance to do it again.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have learned anything. Live and don't learn. That's my motto. When you look like this, look at me. When you've got a face for radio, high school's going to be a tough run. All these guys here, these journalists of the future, they all have gel in their hair here. These guys have themselves put together.
How does Joe Flacco
The ladies in their group look like they're well-dressed. They're probably very well-liked by their classmates. I wasn't.
How does Joe Flacco get remembered by Steelers fans?
You know what? He did two things that the Steelers have not done. Look at this. This is unbelievable. This offering that has just been made.
The North Catholic mug. Now you're in the club, Chris.
This is pretty
you're
unbelievable.
You're back, baby.
I'm pretty flattered by this. I'm ready for it. The car magnet? Does the car magnet go?
Put that on before you leave today. I want you to promise them that your son will attend North Catholic before this show is over.
I don't think I can make that promise. He's 2.5 months old. What if I'm in another state because I've finally moved up in the world?
Okay, well, send him back here to go to school. That happens
all the time. Son,
boarding schools
exist. We're sending you across the country to go. I know we live in Los Angeles and have a nice life, but you are going to school in the Rust Belt.
Hey, it's far-fetched for me to believe you'll be working in Los Angeles.
It's far-fetched for me to be working, period,
that time. What do you think Gord Gronkowski did with Rob?
I know.
He sent him down here to go to Woodland Hills.
I know.
Send your kid back to Pittsburgh to get a
North Catholic education. Fortes and Fiat.
All right, how is Joe Flacco going to get remembered by Steelers fans?
He did two things that the Steelers have not done in the last decade, basically. He won a Super Bowl, and he was consistently the guy that was able to either beat or play Tom Brady to a draw in the playoffs, and that's how I remember him. He was also the guy that enraged me the most as a fan because his offensive repertoire was limited to throw the ball as far as you can and hope for a pass interference call. I'm assuming he's going to throw a ball in the thin air in Denver that's never going to come down. It's just going to enter low orbit, and they'll throw a multiple, you know, spot foul flags on him or for him. But he was the guy that did three things. He won a Super Bowl in between the time they've won their last one. He beat Brady. He was always more than a match for Brady. He could execute in that setting. And he was a guy that enraged me because I felt like a lot of his success was cheap because of the way he would go about moving them down the field.
He was terrible in that 2008 AFC Championship game.
Yes, he was.
Had one of the worst stat lines. His stat line for that game was worse than what Ben did in Super Bowl 40.
Yep.
He threw three interceptions.
Also correct.
But I never felt like I always felt like with Flacco, and that was his rookie year, so it was different. I felt like Flacco always, the bigger the game, the better he played.
He was a.
Or my expectation for him was once you got to January, like Eli Manning to some extent,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't going to buckle under the pressure.
He was a poor man's Eli Manning, I guess, because Manning has two Super Bowls to his one, beat Brady twice in the biggest game on the calendar. The Eli Manning comparison is by far the best one. Who's the actual better quarterback of the two? I guess it's Manning.
It is.
But not by some large.
Flacco's
measure.
Never had a good statistical season.
His best season was, I think, a 93 passer rating.
That's not good.
It's not. When that's your best, that's an underwhelming thing.
Better career, Carson Palmer or Joe Flacco?
Who has a Super Bowl?
I'd still say Palmer.
Whose career would I want? Probably Palmer's. Made a lot more money. Did he? Well,
no, he didn't.
No, he didn't. That's right. I'm thinking of that first pick overall.
Who
money,
was the better quarterback?
Palmer. Palmer beats the Steelers, I think, if he doesn't get his knee torn up by Von Ohlhoff.
You like to say that.
Most Steelers fans admit it.
Do
go
they?
Ask. Go ask people. Give them the truth serum and say, do the Steelers win that game if Kimo Von Olofen doesn't rip up Palmer's knee with that hit? And I bet you any truth serum-addled Steelers fan will say, yeah, no, they weren't going to. That Bengals team was fly,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but it's still a Marvin Lewis team, and the Bengals are the Bengals.
Dude, they were unstoppable early in that game.
Fan, whether how many plays into the game did Palmer get hurt?
I think they had already scored a touchdown on the Steelers.
Okay. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy and McMurray. Get a sweetheart of a deal with Auto Show Savings in February. 34 degrees right now, a low of 29. Coming up, our Penguins Roundtable. We have a proposition for Jason Mackey.
Oh, man.
That I hope he's going to go for. If he doesn't, it is literally going to ruin my day.
It is a very decent proposal.
If he does not get in on this, I will go home and take it out on my wife and dogs. All right.
Yep. As if you don't do enough to them emotionally.
Jeff has sports. Flacco's on his way to Denver and a big game in Pittsburgh tonight. It's the PM team.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.